Well, we've come to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and so we trust that you have read it and studied it, and tonight we'll be ready to go through the 10th chapter. But this morning we'd like to draw your attention to verse 17 out of chapter 10, where Paul says, "For he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." Now, Paul wrote this in his first letter to the Corinthians. In chapter 1, verse 31, Paul said, "Let him that glorieth glory in the Lord." So twice he has said that to the Corinthians, but the difference is in his first letter, he acknowledged that it was written in the Scriptures. In other words, he was quoting from the Scriptures, "Let him that glorieth glory in the Lord." And so he is quoting again this passage from Jeremiah chapter 9, beginning verse 23, "Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord which exercises loving kindness and judgment and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. So let him that glorieth glory in the Lord." It's interesting that Jeremiah does point out the three things in which a person generally glories. Those that glory in their wisdom. You know, there is an intellectual snobbery. People glory in the degrees that they have obtained and where they obtained their degrees. They look down on those who they believe are less intelligent than they. Larry Taylor, who was the president of our Bible college, now pastoring in Maui, was speaking recently at a community affair, which was attended by many people in the community, including the local Episcopalian minister who had his doctorate. And afterwards, he came up to Larry in a very condescending way, introduced himself as a doctor, and He made mention of the simplicity of Larry's message and so forth, and "Don't you think you're being too simplistic?" And he said, "By the way, what degrees do you have?" And Larry said, "Well, I have a PhD." And the fellow said, "Oh, well, where did you get it? What schools did you attend, you know?" And Larry said, "Well, I attended John Hopkins University." The fellow changed completely. "Oh, that's a nice school, you know. I mean, but it's interesting, this intellectual snobbery kind of stuff that goes on as people glory in their wisdom. I was reading that a college president sent out a note to the faculty, and it said, "Treat the straight A students very well, for it is possible that they will come back and be professors on our campus here." He said, "Treat the C average students very well, for they will probably come back and build a new science laboratory for the school." It's like the mother who told her child, honey, when you ain't got no education, you just got to use your brains. Paul spoke to the Romans about those who professed themselves to be wise, but they had really become fools. The psalmist said, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. It's amazing that wise men will believe and follow such idiotic, unproven theories once they have rejected the reality of God. Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. There is so much glory in the world today for the athletes and for their athletic skills and abilities. This whole sports scene, how people will pay to see men of might, skills, and abilities. And how much now the professional athletes are being paid in order to play. And look at how the world glories in these men. From the time you're a little boy, you're glorying in the great heroes of baseball or basketball or football or soccer or whatever, and tennis. We are prone to glory in men and in their physical prowess. And the cheers of the crowd become like an opiate. And we do things to receive glory. But the Bible warns that we should not glory in our might. Neither let the rich man, he said, glory in his riches. Jesus spoke of how hard it was for a rich man, or a man who trusted in riches, to enter into the kingdom of heaven. The Bible tells us that if riches increase, set not your heart upon them. And the Bible then tells us that the man who is truly rich is the godly man who is contented. For godliness with contentment, Paul said, is great riches. The three things in which men usually glory: they glory in their wisdom, they glory in their might, or they glory in their riches. But let him that glorieth, Paul said, glory in the Lord. Paul had established the church in Corinth. And after Paul left, there were men who came into Corinth. And they began to brag about all of the things that they had done, their accomplishments. They were boasting in their ministries and so forth. And they sought to put Paul down. They sort of tried to build their own esteem among the people by tearing down Paul, who was the one who founded the church, the one who came there and established the work. It is always foolish to try to build your own esteem among people by tearing others down. Better that you establish by your ministry and by your works your own place in the hearts of the people, rather than trying to replace someone else. Years ago, we were called to a pastorate where the previous pastor had started the church, been there for 13 years and had established a very good church. However, he himself was caught up in personal sin and had to leave the church in disgrace. We were called to go and pastor the church and hopefully pull things together because the people had really become divided over the issue and they had been shattered, their confidence shattered in the previous pastor. As we went in to pastor the church, we never brought up to the people the sin of the previous pastor. We knew that there were still many there who loved him. They had been saved under his ministry. They were hurting and they were devastated by what he had done. There were those who were involved indirectly with his sin, and they hated him. And they would have loved to have seen him hanging from the gallows. And so it was a divided church. But we went in to establish our own place in their hearts, not trying to replace him. And never once did we say a negative thing about the previous pastor, but just went about to establish our own places in their hearts. And God was good to us and God blessed, and we were able to see the Lord do a marvelous work in that church. In contrast, the church that I had just left, the pastor who was called to take that church, because the people foolishly were saying, well, Chuck did it this way, or, you know, he became very jealous and he began to, you know, put me down in order to try to build his own place in their hearts. But it just doesn't work. You don't build a place by tearing others down. But that's what they were doing in Corinth. They followed Paul in Corinth, and rather than just establishing their own place in the hearts of the people, establishing their own ministry, because the people loved Paul. He was the one who brought them to Christ. He was the one that started the church, but they couldn't handle their adulation and their love for Paul, and so they were trying to tear Paul down, and they were boasting of how much greater they were than Paul, and, you know, and it was a sad thing what was going on in Corinth by these fellows who tried to supplant Paul in the hearts of the people. So Paul is writing to them, and he's saying, look, I'm not going to glory in what I have done. I'm not going to glory in what the Lord has done through me. I'm not going to boast of myself or of my ministry. I'm not going to brag beyond what I have done. And these guys were, you know, they tell these stories and they embellish them. I mean, to hear them, you know, tell their stories, you think, wow, you know, these guys are super saints. Paul said, I'm not going to engage in that kind of thing. For let him that glorieth glory in the Lord. And if we are going to glory, our glory should be in the Lord, not in the accomplishments even that the Lord has done through us, but just glory in the Lord. As we sang, to God be the glory, great things he hath done. And you don't glory in the instrument. You glory in the master who used the instrument for his purposes, to accomplish his purposes. If there be any boasting, let it be in the Lord, for what the Lord has done. And so Paul quotes for them Jeremiah chapter 9. Let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understands, God said, and knows me. What I may have accomplished or acquired intellectually, physically, or materially is nothing. Let him that glorieth glory that he knows and understands the Lord. All that we have done is like wood, hay, and stubble. It's to be burned. Jesus said, what it profit a man if he gained the whole world? Riches, but lost his own soul. Now, there are three characteristics of God's nature that we should know in order that we would glory in knowing him, understanding him. And the first is his loving kindness. Loving kindness. I love that word. And what a wonderful revelation of God. God is loving and God is kind. And so the Bible speaks of his loving kindness. This was totally foreign to the Greek mind and concept of God. The Greeks saw their gods as egocentric, as lustful, in competition with man. And to talk to a Greek about a God who was loving and a God who was kind was foreign to the Greek idea or concept of God. It's interesting that David, the psalmist, used this word concerning God many times, loving kindness. And he usually used it with the words tender mercies. When he was asking God's forgiveness for his sin with Bathsheba, he began his prayer saying, have mercy upon me, O God, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. According to thy loving kindness and the multitude of thy tender mercies. The loving kindness of God. The tender mercies of God. Do you know them? Have you experienced them? In Psalm 103, David said, bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all of his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Oh, the loving kindness of God and the tender mercies of God. And if you know those, let him that glorieth glory in that he knows and understands me, that I am Jehovah, who is loving and who is kind. And then the judgment of God. Let him glory in that he understands me, that I am Jehovah, which exercises loving kindness and judgment. God is fair. You know, quite often, when there has been a vicious crime committed, we feel whoever would do something like that deserves to be punished. Especially if they've stolen something from you. We always feel whoever did that, that is so dirty. They need to be caught and they need to be punished. And oftentimes when they are caught, and maybe they get a light sentence from the court, or maybe even the case is dismissed. I had a friend who was a minister. He had gone to speak at a church in Inglewood. He had gone a little early, was sitting in his car in front of the church, had gone early to pray. And as he was sitting in his car praying for the service, a couple of fellas came up and they shot and killed him and took his watch and his wallet, and they were apprehended. And when they were apprehended, the one fellow testified and he said, he's the guy that shot him. And pointed to the other fellow. Well, the case was ultimately dismissed by the judge because he said, and even they had the guy's watch, they had his wallet and so forth, but the judge said, you know, we can't accept the testimony because they were both involved. And we don't have any, you know, strong evidence. And the case was dismissed. And you think, that's not fair. That isn't justice. Killing a man in cold-blooded like that and yet being dismissed, that's not fair. And our hearts cry out for justice. It's good to know that ultimately no one is going to get by with their evil. Though they may be able to escape the judgment of man, they will not escape the judgment of God, which is according to truth. And so he is a God of judgment, righteous judgment. Paul spoke to the Romans about the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. And ultimately, justice will prevail. Not the justice of man, but the justice of God will ultimately prevail. Now, if you are guilty, that should scare you. If you think you've gotten by with the evil, you haven't. One day, you will stand before God, and in his righteous judgment, he will render to you according to your deeds. Except if you confess to him, and if you will receive his Son, Jesus Christ, he will then forgive you. And there is no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. He is a God who is loving and is kind. He's a God who will judge. And he is a God of righteousness. He wants us to do the right thing. Now, we're faced daily with situations where I can either do the right thing or the wrong thing. God wants us to do the right thing. I really don't understand why some people have such an animosity against Christianity. An animosity against the Bible and against Jesus Christ. I heard one of these people who are involved in the gay rights movement who are trying to create now a law that will make it a crime to speak negatively concerning the gay community or people who are involved in that activity. And she was talking to the press and she was expressing her anger at those who would try to impose their values on others. I thought, give me a break. What are you trying to do? You're trying to impose your values on others. You're trying to make me accept your values and trying to put me in jail if I speak out against it. I mean, give me a break. But yet, that's how they twist things. Now, there's a right way, there's a wrong way. God wants us to do the right thing. What's wrong with that? And yet, there are those who, you know, speak out in a very negative way concerning Christianity, when really, our values are, the Lord asks us to do just what's right. Paul said, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. When writing to the Galatians, Paul said, God forbid that I should glory except in the cross of Jesus Christ. It's not what I have done for God. It is not my sacrifices or my work or my anything. To God be the glory for the great things that he has done. And he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. You're always safe. Father, we thank you for what you have done and for what you are. We thank you that you are a God who exercises loving kindness and judgment and mercy and grace and goodness and righteousness. And Lord, we thank you for just what you are, as well as what you do. We glory, Lord, in the fact that we've come to know you and to understand your nature and your character. Help us, Lord, and keep us, Lord, from the folly of self-glory, self-exaltation. And let us walk humbly, Lord, before thee in love. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the Lord be with you, watch over and keep you in his love, and may our lives bring glory to God. As Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that when they see your good works, they will glorify your Father which is in heaven. And may God be glorified through his work in and through our lives.